this morning, if you would, to Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. The title of my message this morning is Men Take the Lead. Men Take the Lead. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. This is Joshua, of course, speaking these immortal words. The word Joshua is the Old Testament equivalent of Jesus. And he's a type of the Lord Jesus in the book of Joshua. And when he got into his older years and the inheritance had been won and the Israelites were settling into their lots, the ground, the inheritance that God had provided for them, he delivered this message. And he said to the Israelites in Joshua 24:15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's a great statement. Many of you have a plaque or a something in your home with those words on it. When I visit your homes, I often see these words. I've been in many Christians' homes. We had them over the door, the entrance into their houses. And they're great words. It's a wonderful sentiment to have. And I think every Christian man at one point or another has felt just exactly this way about it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Doris's homecoming. We thank you for precious sisters in the Lord like her. Our brothers and sisters in Christ that we've known and been comforted by and taught and instructed and served with over the years. And we just are mindful this morning again, afresh and new, that great congregation and that's assembling on the other side. And we feel privileged, Lord, to know that we're going to have a part in it one of these days. And we thank you for letting us read a little bit about it in the Scripture. And we know it's coming and coming soon. And we pray that you'd help us to get as many people ready to go with us as we possibly can in these last days. Make us good servants and personal workers, good soul winners. I pray you'd challenge the men in this auditorium this morning to be the kind of men that you would have them to be. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15 is both a decision and an announcement. God expects men to take the lead in their nation and in their home. And Joshua was doing just exactly that. He was taking the lead when he uttered those words. Nowhere in the Bible does God indicate that women are to take the lead. But everywhere we're confronted with the fact that it's God's design for men to lead their wife, their children, and their children are to follow. Their wife and the children are to follow. And according to the Scripture, men are to lead in the decision-making progress, process. In order to do so effectively, a father or a husband is going to have to seek the Lord and seek the Lord's face and seek his wisdom. And that means time spent in the Word of God. He'll have to make solid scriptural decisions. I'm talking about spiritual decisions that may be resisted at times. Your wife may not agree with some of the decisions that you make, and you need certainly to take her counsel to heart. You need to consider what she has to say. You need to value her input. Then be a man and make the decision that you feel God's leading you to make, and then stand by it. That's part of what comes with the territory of being a man. Some of the decisions you make are not going to be popular with your children. But fathers and husbands, you're not in a popularity contest. You do what you know to be best for your children, and then don't back down, and they'll thank you for it as the years go by and in sometime in the future. I've received several phone calls from my two children over the years, every once in a while, thanking me for some of the toughest decisions that I had to make. And when I said no to them about things they wanted to do, and then as the years went by, they looked back and said, "Dad, you made the right decision. Thank me for it." You need to be in charge of the decision-making process in your home. You also need to be in charge of the decision-making process in your church and in your nation, with your government. As the home goes, so goes the church, and so goes the nation. If the home is going to be right according to God's standard, the man must be the leader. I once saw a plaque. It's a good plaque, and I've since located the poem and read the poem. And it said, "What is a home without a mother?" And all of us would agree, a house wouldn't be much of a home without a woman, for sure. But let me ask you the question. Let me ask you this. What would a home be without a father? In one sense, the most important member of the family is the father, because he's God's ordained head. He's the head of the house. The head of Christ is God. The head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man, the Bible tells us. Mothers are just as important. Nobody but a fool would dispute that. But if the home is to be what God intends it to be, the man must be its leader. And men, you've got to take the lead. I saw another plaque one day, and you probably heard the saying, God couldn't be everywhere, so he created mothers. And that's sweet, and I understand the sentiment behind it, but it is inaccurate. God is everywhere, even where mothers are not. And thank God for Christian mothers, but a home can never be a truly Christian home, a spiritual home, without a saved father. Christian women have good sense, and they realize this. And there isn't a Christian woman that doesn't know that something's seriously lacking in her home when the father or her husband is not a Christian. The first message to the home has to go out to men. And God has appointed men to lead their home and to lead in the local church and to lead in their nation. So men have to lead. Men have to lead by example. You men that are here this morning have to lead by example. When God decided to place you on earth, he determined when and where you'd be born, and he determined what kind of body you would receive. If God assigned you a male body, it's because he has a specific a role for you to play. And if he assigned you a female body, your role is different. If you're a man, God created you to be an example of Christ to others. If you're married, then God intends you to be an example to your wife and to your children. Husbands are the head of their wives. You're supposed to take the lead. You represent the Lord Jesus Christ in your home. And that's an awesome responsibility. Don't let the Lord down. Your job, fellas, is to let the Holy Spirit form Christ in you. You are to be Christ-like, and there's no way that an unsaved man can represent Jesus Christ in a home. You want to be a man? You want to be a real man? You have to have and know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Now, according to the Scripture, the woman represents Christ's bride, the church, in the home. Men have a role to play, and women have a role to play. And the man is God's representative of Christ on earth, not just one day a week, not just on a special select occasion, but 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year, until you die. You're to be your wife's Christ-like example, as well as Christ-like example to your children, to your extended family, to your fellow workers, and to your neighbors. So, fellas, that means if you have a falling out at your home with your spouse, you're the one who's supposed to initiate the reconciliation process. That's exactly what Christ did on the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus was the one who began the healing process. It was the Lord Jesus who sought out us sinners and came to us. Then, fellows, if something goes wrong in your home, you should be the one who gets the ball rolling and facilitate making things right. You're the one who represents Christ. The church didn't seek out the Lord Jesus. The church, represented by your wife, loves him because he first loved us. So you have to take the lead, fellows. You have to be a Christ-like example. Now, men are a picture of Jesus Christ to their wives. And you're the head of your wife, even as Christ's the head of the church. And you have to serve as a picture of Christ to your children. The nearest thing to God that your children know on this earth is their father. And from the earliest days of childhood, children learn that God is a father. We teach them to pray, Father, first word out of their mouth. You know what children think, don't you? They think God must be like their father. It's exactly what they think. So what are you teaching them, Dad? What kind of an example are you leaving them? You know, your job's not to conform your child to your image. Your job is to conform your child to Christ's image. That's the direction you want to point them. That's what you want to see done. What's your child going to think about God, the Father, based on the way you live in front of your son or your daughter? Are they going to think that God's a, man, I don't know how to describe it anymore. Are they going to think God's a beer-guzzling drug user? They're going to think that God's a dipping, chewing, smoking, spitting tobacco factory? They're going to think God's a womanizing flesh addict? Is that what they're going to think? What kind of a representative have you been? Have you used the position that Christ's given you to be a good example? That's what you're supposed to do. How is your wife and your kids, how do they see things spiritually in your home? Do they see somebody as their father, their husband, as somebody that's filled with hate or bitterness, who uses God's name as a cuss word? Do you see a moral man? Do they see a moral man? One who respects God and his word and his wife and his children and others? If what your kids know about God comes from you, I just ask you this morning, what are you teaching them? What are you teaching them? You can't teach them anything about a God that you don't know yourself. So you better ask yourself, am I helping my little ones onto heaven, or am I helping them onto hell? It bothers me when I come to church on Sunday morning and I drive through the country and I see men out mowing their yards and washing their cars and working on the little place and doing all those kind of things when they ought to be in the house of God. Bothers me. I wonder what they're teaching their children, their grandchildren. I don't wonder about it. I know what they're teaching them. They're teaching them God's not important. The church house and the Word of God and preaching and preachers and Christian people aren't a priority. And they ought to be. You know what's wrong with a lot of men today? I can tell you. They're yellow. They're cowards. They're more concerned about what their buddies think. They're more concerned about how they look. And by that I mean if they've got just the right little ring in their back pocket for their blue jeans, and if they drank the right kind of beer, if they go to the right spots and they have the right kind of wheels on their trucks or on their cars, and if they're worried about carousing and doing what's socially acceptable to others and to their buddies. And not 10 out of 100 men are man enough to stand up on their own two feet and their back legs and do what God wants them to do. And that's what I mean about them being cowards in yellow. They're spiritual sissies. They're afraid. They're afraid of God and spiritual things. They're afraid of something that's holy, like a Bible or a church house or a Christian or a group of people singing. Men like that take out their anxiety and their frustrations on their wives and their children at home sometimes. Some of them use their own flesh and blood as punching bags. They abuse their children. You can do it more than just in a physical way. You can abuse them verbally and mentally as well. God help you if you're a father like that. They think the only way to settle things is with their fists. They might fight another man a drop of a hat, but But they're too chicken to walk down a church aisle like at Calvary Baptist Church on Sunday morning and get their hearts right with God at an altar. Yeah. That's the kind of men we need. That's the kind of men that built this country years ago. Settled it and started churches. If you're really big and strong and you've got guts and backbone, then why don't you get your heart right with God? That'd be a real good place to start. Why don't you quit sidestepping the real issues and be a real man for once and stop playing all these selfish, sinful, petty games? Take the lead, like the Bible says. Like Joshua said in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You need to take the lead in spiritual things. Men are to take the lead by example. Men are to take the lead morally in this country and in your home. We live in a day and age when young women are becoming as vulgar and filthy and vile as sin hardened as unsaved men. The reason for this is they've received very little, if any, training at home about morals and how to be a lady and how to... They didn't get it from these liberated mothers that we insisted on creating back in the 60s and 70s. So they don't know how to be godly women, moral women. Today, women smoke, women drink, women tell dirty jokes, and they're so forward when it comes to attracting the opposite sex that Christian mothers are every bit as concerned about their boys, if not more so, as fathers used to be about their girls. Just listen for a moment. This double standard stuff about expecting more out of girls morally than we do boys is nothing but a trick of the devil. Amen. Fellas, God expects you to take the lead and to take the moral high ground in every relationship. He expects you to do what's right regardless of what other people think, including your date or your fiance, no matter how much you love them. And by the way, love can always wait to receive. It's lust that can't wait to get. So if you're on that track, you figure it out. You add up the score. It's just as proper for a young man to be pure and clean and exercise virtue as it is for a young lady. And if it's right for a young woman to be brought up to be a lady, and it is, it's just as right for a young man to be brought up to behave like a gentleman. As a matter of fact, I think it's a lot worse for a man to live a corrupt moral life because men have been given the responsibility to take care of and teach their wives and their daughters. He's the one that's the spiritual head in the home. He's supposed to know what God says, and you're supposed to teach your children what God wants taught. Men are to set the moral example in the home. God wants you men to take the lead, and if you're wise, you will, and you'll be an example to your children and a mirror of what God wants them to be. God wants you to take the lead morally. God wants you to take the lead spiritually. When's the last time you prayed with your family? When's the last time you said, let's get together, get on our knees in the living room and just pray for a little bit? When's the last time you read the Word of God to them? When's the last time you discussed the Bible at the supper table with them or answered a question? Do you know enough Bible to answer your wife or your children's questions, fellas? If you don't, why don't you? God expects you to take the lead. Have you turned your spiritual responsibilities over to your wife? I may be talking to a couple here this morning or someone here this morning, a man or a woman, who not saved, I don't know. Could be. Someone hear this message may be listening one day and hear it and be unsaved. And I just say to you, you couldn't do the things that we're talking about doing because you don't know the Lord and you don't know how. And what a tragedy, Mom and Dad. You need to be saved and you need to learn how to raise children the Bible way and according to the Scripture. I sure hope, fellas, that you haven't turned your spiritual responsibilities over to your wife because you're just willful and bent on going your own way and spiritually rebellious or lazy. That's not what God wants. God wants you to take the lead. He wants you to be a leader in your home spiritually. Listen to this, fellas. The Bible says, let your women keep silence in the churches. If they'll learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. Ask their husbands at home. Did you get that? The implication is the husband's to be the leader. The husband ought to have the answer, or at least be able to find the answer. And listen, men, God has made you the spiritual leader, so your job is to lead. I can tell you what's wrong with our homes and churches in our country. Men are sitting at home on Sunday, and they're down at the lake, or they're mowing their lawn, or doing some chore. Some do go to church, and I take my hat off to them, and I gave you credit for that, although that's just what you're supposed to do. You don't get points for doing what you're supposed to do. We're just all unprofitable servants if we just obey the Word of God. I mean, just do what we're supposed to do. But they leave the Bible teaching at the church house to the women, see. And it ought to be men who teach the Bible, not only at home to their wives and children, but at the church house as well. Now, I'm not saying exclusively, but certainly in the main. And a church should never lack for men as Christ-like role models, amen, at every level. Now, I know there's things that women are better at doing, especially with the very young ones, and we praise God for them. Don't know how we'd run our churches without them. I thank God for every position a woman fills here at Calvary Baptist Church. But men ought to take the lead. And you can't just slough off your spiritual responsibility onto someone else or to a wife or to another woman. There ought to be enough men in this church that love the Lord and live by the book and want to serve God to be good examples to all the men in this community and to however many and as to how men ought to love and to serve the Lord. And any young child in this church ought to be able to look at any man in this church and know that's a Christian man. That's how a Christian man ought to behave himself. And this is how Christian men behave themselves and what they do and where they go. God expects you fellows to take the lead spiritually. It ought to be a daddy who says, let's pray. Amen. It ought to be a daddy who says, let's read the Bible. Let's go to church. Time to go to church. It ought to be the man of the house who makes the decision and announces that as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. There ought to be no doubt about it in any Christian home. I want to say one more thing and then I'll close. It ought to be men who lead in the discipline of children. It ought to be men who lead in the discipline of children. That doesn't mean the women ought not to discipline children. But by that statement, I mean it should be clearly understood in the home that the proper discipline is the desire and the directive of the father who's seeing to it that spiritual training is being carried out. My generation, the baby boomers, our parents, they were raised on Dr. Spock after World War II. And that was the guideline of how to have a modern home, a sophisticated home, after the Second World War. Americans have now raised several generations of addicts and hippies and rebels with little respect for authority, and they do not know how to properly our children have not been raised with proper manners and how to be a proper parent as a result of it. And you folks that teach Sunday school and work in junior church and go out on the buses and come to church here, you see it all around you in these last generations. That's sad, isn't it? But it all starts at home. Where does that have to start? How do you turn it around? It's got to start with fathers as well as mothers, but fathers in particular. You got to get back to the way of doing things God's way. Men spend more time today raising cattle and hogs and crops and hunting dogs than they do children. And something is out of whack for sure. It doesn't take a genius to figure it out. Men, you better spend time with the Lord. You better spend time learning how to raise sons and daughters and asking God how to go about it. And if you don't, there's going to come a day when you'll say, I wish I'd spent more time with my kids. I've heard that a few times. It'll be too late the time you utter that. I've never yet run into anybody who said to me, I wish I hadn't spent so much time with my children. I've never heard that. Or, I spent too much time with my kids. It's always the other way around. Children spell love. This is how they spell it. T-I-M-E. That's how they spell love. That's what they'll remember. The time that you spent with them. The world's philosophy is wrong about raising kids when it departs from the book, from the Bible. And Dad, you ought to make your kids receive a proper, loving, biblical discipline from you. We need fathers who make their kids mind. We need fathers who will teach them to obey and respect authority. If I would have been disrespectful to an adult, regardless of who they were when I was a child, my mother would have slapped my mouth off my face, and I wouldn't have done it again. We need fathers who insist that their children honor their mother and their elders and their preacher and their teachers and the fireman and the police officer, anybody that's in authority. Remind them to treat others like they'd want to be treated themselves. In other words, we need men that'll take the lead. And we sure need some men, some real men, some godly men who love the Lord Jesus Christ and are committed to being the father that God wants.